We've been going over verses that show that the 12 tribes, the 12 sons of Israel, called the nation of Israel as of Exodus 4:22 by God. Well, the word nation is not in there, but he calls Israel my firstborn. Welcome to the room. He's talking about a nation. He's not talking about an individual, the individual Israel, who was the renamed Jacob. He's not talking about Jacob in his new name. He's talking about the descendants, roughly 600,000 people. And so when you get down to the passage that most people look at about being born again, John 3, verses 1 through 7 or 8, he's introducing a new application for that. I mean, they knew that the nation had to be, what is it in Isaiah 66, I think verse 8, and we'll cover that in a few minutes, a nation born in a day. They knew that was coming, but the part about the individuals being part of that and being born again on the basis of being part of that born-again nation was new to them. So that's what Christ was emphasizing there. So let's remember that as we go along, and consider also the verses that we read last time. And if you missed that, I suggest you go back to the recent lessons page at the website. I think it's page 11, and check that out. Listen to the most recent. It would be part 5 in this sharing rightly, the sharing dividing rightly, I think it's called, or sharing. I forget how it's rightly dividing, sharing rightly dividing. RD, actually, sharing RD. So, but considering all that, you can see that not only had Israel been born as a nation coming out of Egypt in the past, but that in the future they are going to be born again. They had been born physically as a nation. We Gentiles were never born as a nation. They had been born as a nation, and they were then called not God's people. Between Acts, you know, if you include all those verses there and all those, the doctrine between Acts 7 and Acts 28, where Israel fell in Acts 7, diminished through Acts, and was cast away and blinded and cast away in Acts 28, they died. They lost that. And they have to be born again spiritually. And we just read the in Ezekiel 37, verses 5 through 14 or so. Well, let's look at 14 again here. But it's about the resurrection of those believers that endured to the end. And well, Ezekiel 37:14, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. So they didn't have a desire to believe that Jesus was the Christ. Well, he pours out on them a spirit of grace and of supplication, and they do believe then, and he puts in them his spirit. Now, compare that with what we have, we in the body of Christ have, from God. Let's look and see what the Bible says. What we need to insist on is what the Scripture says. We need to find out and believe what the Scripture says, because this is probably pulling the rug out from under some of our long-held beliefs. We need to see here that he's not talking about going to heaven. The wording, I mean, it's confused. The body of Christ goes to heaven, yes, but in John, the body of Christ is not in view yet. In John 3 here, he's talking about the kingdom coming out of heaven to earth. And Israel reigning in the land on earth. So, Israel with Christ on the throne will reign on earth from the land as covenanted. We'll be in heaven. So things that are different are not the same. John 3:5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, you have to take three things into consideration here. There's entering the kingdom of God, there's seeing it, seeing the kingdom of God, and there's inheriting the kingdom of God, which involves ownership. All three terms are used. Every person is born of water. Before a mother delivers her child, her water breaks. That's the fluid from her amniotic sac that carries the human being while it's growing. And that's the part of the human birth that's being born of water. So, what did it say? Except a man be born of water and something else, born of the Spirit. Something besides being born of their mother, or your mother, or mine, you know. Jesus went on to explain in 3:6, John 3, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. If you're born of water, you're born of the flesh. That's our physical birth, when we were born from our mothers. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, many people try and equate being born of the Spirit with being saved, because that's where it has to fit in if it's going to be the same. But they're not the same, and it doesn't fit in. It's talking about being born. It's a spiritual birth. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about a spiritual body. There is a spiritual body, and there is a, I think it says physical body, doesn't it? Fleshly body. I should look that up. Let me find my scripture here. 1 Corinthians 15. Sown in weak, natural. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. 15:44. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And that's what he's talking about. So, the born of the Spirit, and born of the flesh, and then born of the Spirit coincides with what he said before, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, people cannot understand this when they do not understand the division that God makes between what was prophesied since the beginning of the world and what was kept secret since the beginning of the world, until God later revealed it to Paul for us in Paul's writings in the Bible. But when you divide it rightly, you can understand that we do not have to make up things about this to make it make sense. Being born again does not have anything to do with what the Bible calls being saved. It doesn't have anything to do with that. It has to do with what we just read, that the Bible says that the nation of Israel will be born again. They were born in the desert in Exodus 4:22. Let me just see if... Yeah, good. Let's see. What were we talking about now? Israel was born in the desert. They were born, but then they lost it. They became Lo-Ammi, not God's people. And then in Ezekiel, that's why we went through Ezekiel, all those verses in Ezekiel, just read through them yesterday. In Ezekiel 37, it says that Israel will be brought up out of their graves. And that's all part of Israel's doctrine and program. Not the part, not anything to do with the body of Christ or Paul's doctrine. Paul doesn't teach that we'll come up out of our graves to rule on earth. Look at Isaiah 66, verse 8. It describes Israel's process. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. So from these verses that we've read, I hope you can see to whom it is that Jesus is talking in John chapter 3 about being born again. The Bible tells us a couple chapters before here to whom it was that he came. He came to his own. John 1:11 tells us that he came to his own. His own did not receive him, but he came to his own. He came to Israel. Christ verifies it by inspiring Paul to write about to whom it was that Jesus was talking when he walked the earth. Romans 15:8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. To why? To confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Not made to the rest of the world, not made to the Gentiles, made to the fathers, Israel's fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So that was those promises that we read about in Genesis 12, and other ones that were made to narrow it down and to confirm it to them. Jesus Christ came to confirm those promises and the promises made in the prophecies about him, the Messiah, that he would come and would be cut off, but not for himself, after the 69th week of those 70 weeks of years prophesied by Daniel. Well, let's get back to John 3, chapter 3. We've read the verses 5, verse 5 and verse 6. They were born of the flesh when they walked the earth like Jesus did. To start with, God called Israel his firstborn in Exodus 4:22. And we've talked about that before. Then they had been born of their mothers, individually born of their mothers, born of the flesh, born of the water, the amniotic sac, water sac. And yet he was telling them, you need to endure to the end. You need to be faithful unto death. And what were they looking forward to? They could only get into the kingdom by dying and being born again. This whole thing, that it's exactly what Matthew 16, verse 18 is about. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. They would lose their lives for Jesus' sake and the gospel's sake. They would be resurrected into the kingdom if they endured to the end to be saved. Look at Mark 4, let's see, it's 8:35. Mark 8:35. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever, and here it is, whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the gospels, the same shall save it. Well, you know, over and over, everything fits together in the same way if you don't take tradition and cliches and fables into account. That, you know, there's no being born again is not being saved, not the same as being saved. They both are positive things, but they're not the same thing. They're for different people, for one thing. So here's one reason why we, in the body of Christ, why we are not being born again. John 3:4, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Being born of water and born of the Spirit. Verse 6, John 3, 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? What if he could? Now, if someone could, if he did that, then that second time that he was born, he would still be born of water, born of the flesh, wouldn't he? So, it would not yet have been born of the Spirit that Christ is talking about. He wouldn't have fulfilled that. He wouldn't be born again. Another reason, an additional reason why today we cannot be born, biblically, born again. It's because the nation of Israel had been born of the flesh as God's people centuries ago. Long before the wilderness, when they came out of Egypt, they were born physically, born of the flesh. However, we Gentiles had never been born as God's people of the flesh. We were never a nation. We were the nations, but not a nation. We could not be born again spiritually because we, as a people, had not been born of water, born of the flesh. Not the first time even, as a people. And there's a verse that can help to clear up our understanding about what it is to be born again, that it's not the same as salvation. But both being born again and being saved are spoken of in the Scriptures. But born again is only spoken of about Israel, not about us, not about Gentiles, not about the body of Christ. Paul never mentions us being born again. He uses a simile about it a couple times, but this is Paul in this verse that I'm going to bring up here, Colossians 1:16, 17 and 18. Paul is talking about Jesus Christ, and he starts off talking about Jesus Christ being the Creator. In verse 16, "For by him were all things created, things that are in heaven and that are in earth." There's that division again. The heavenly and the earthly, starting off in Scripture with the earthly, with Israel. Visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Verse 17, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church." So Paul wrote this after Christ revealed the body of Christ to Paul and sent him to preach about it, because he says he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. This is talking about Jesus Christ. He's the beginning. Who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead. So he's the firstborn from the dead. That special phrase there, including not just the firstborn, God's firstborn, but he's the firstborn from the dead. And that's exactly what we've been talking about here. This is the very thing, being born a second time, but this time spiritually. Now, we've talked before that Acts 2:16, Peter says, "This is that which the prophet Joel prophesied." And Israel's prophecy can't take place until after the body of Christ is gone. Well, the body of Christ hadn't started by the time of Acts 2:16. That train of thought left my mind. I'll have to come back to that if I can. But the Lord patterned something differently for people today, people after Israel fell in Acts 7. And he revealed it through Paul in Acts 9. And Paul revealed it to us in 1 Timothy 1:16. "Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first." You know, a pattern is the first of a kind, and you make the copies from the pattern. In me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter. Well, you could say who would hereafter follow this pattern, but he tells what it is to follow that pattern, to believe on him to life everlasting. Is that what you believe on him for? Do you believe on him to life everlasting? Believe that he died for your sins and that he rose for your justification. It's simple. It's hard, though, if you're thinking, I can be good enough. I've had all these years of regular church attendance, and I never cheated on my wife. I never did this or that. I never stole. God's got to take that into consideration, and where I fall short, he'll pick up what's left. No, that's not faith in him. That's faith in yourself and him picking up the gaps. No, that's not salvation. When we hear and believe Paul's gospel of salvation to be forgiven, justified, and quickened, we're not only in Christ, but we're also in the body of Christ, a new creature. We're not born again, not something that happens again. We are new. We are a new creature. And let me just close with these verses that clearly tell what Paul was teaching about to us, how to be saved. He sums it up, and we find it in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you, so he's writing to preach at them, preach to them, tell them what the gospel is. He says, I declare unto you the gospel. Which gospel? The gospel which I preached unto you. So he had preached it to them before, and when he was there in Corinth. I declare it now unto you what I preached to you then, he says, which also you have received, wherein you stand, and by which also you are saved. So it's a gospel that saves you. Well, what is that gospel? Well, for one thing, he repeats it a third time here. Keep in memory what I preached unto you. Otherwise, unless you have believed in vain. It's vain for you to believe Peter's gospel, to try and be saved by repenting and believing that the kingdom is at hand, or being baptized, water baptized. Those were kingdom functions given to Israel in Exodus 29 and Exodus 19. Well, what is the gospel then that saves you? What are you to believe and to receive unto yourself? Verses 3 and 4, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. And that's that same preaching again, the fourth time. How that Christ died for our sins. That's what he preached to them, according to the scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. That's it. You know, there's nothing to add to that. grace and peace to each of us. And I hope we're all believing that, and everyone that hears this lesson believes that. If not, receive it. Don't just hear it, and don't just believe it's a fact. Believe it. It's your cure for your sin problem and for your separation from God. God will save you if you believe that he died for you. That's a relationship. You're trusting Christ when you believe he died for you, for your sins. You can't separate trusting Christ and trusting what he said he would do to save you. So, I'm done. Time for questions, comments.